Father God, would you speak to us through the power of your word? Would you open our hearts and minds afresh and fill us with your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. We're going to start with a few faces up on the screen, and I'm sure you will recognise these three. We've got Nelson Mandela on the left, a leader of politics, Mother Teresa, top right, leader for the poor, and David Beckham, a leader in sport. And our theme today of wise leadership may have you thinking that we're focusing perhaps on the leadership exemplified by the kinds of people up on the screen, world leaders, legends, and even saints in their own right, who have or may go down in the history books as leaders of our time. But what about these people? We've got a lollipop person at the top, a parent bottom right, and a police officer on the left. All people with everyday jobs and lives, and yet leaders in their own particular field. The parents leading a home, raising children and so on. The lollipop person's leading people safely through traffic, and a police officer is leading a community in adhering to the law. And there are, of course, many other examples. From the world stage to the living room, leadership comes in many forms and contexts. As we continue with the story of Joseph, he too once again found himself in a position of leadership. Having proved himself to be wise and discerning through his interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams in God's power that we heard about last week, he was then put in charge of managing Egypt through the 7 years of abundance and the 7 years of famine. And if you've got Genesis open and handy, verse 38 tells us that Pharaoh and his officials wanted someone to lead them in whom is the Spirit of God. They were looking for a godly leader to lead them, the people, through the impending crisis. And this was their priority in selecting the right person for the job. And Pharaoh himself recognised Joseph's integrity, that he was a man of God, and said in verse 39 in Genesis, since God has made this all known to you, there's no one so discerning and wise as you. So Joseph is handed the baton of leadership and is put in charge of implementing Pharaoh's economic policies. And Joseph's responsibility and authority, as we read, was second only to Pharaoh himself. The symbolic gifts of a signet ring, fine robes and a gold chain just showed Joseph's new status, something akin to a royal. And this must have been a huge adjustment and transition for Joseph, who just a little earlier had been a mere slave. And godly leadership can sometimes come in unexpected ways to seemingly unexpected people. Perhaps we think Joseph was an unexpected person in this sense. Who would have thought that a mere slave and a foreigner, the lowest of the low in that society, could have reached the dizzy heights of second in command in all Egypt? A few years ago, when I was at Theological College at St John's in Nottingham, when I arrived, I remember being struck as I observed my fellow ordinands, all of us who were training together in vicar school, as we called it at the time. And what an incredibly ordinary bunch of people we were, coming from different backgrounds, different jobs, different experiences, different stages of life, with the age range stretching from around 23, who was the youngest of us, that wasn't me, to the early 60s. And amongst us, there might even be a future Archbishop of Canterbury, for all I knew. And by the way, that's not me either, because I'm too old already. Nothing special. And yet what we had in common was that we were all called to a particular form of leadership within the Church of England. And at that time, most of us were surprised that God had chosen us to fulfil his purposes in that this way. We were called to lead, and yet we felt profoundly unexpected and frankly unsuitable people for the job. And throughout the Bible, God seemed to have a habit of raising ordinary and unexpected and even apparently unsuitable people for his plans and purposes. And of course, Joseph was no exception to this. So whatever form of leadership we might be called to, Christian leadership is in its nature a distinctive calling. And I have to say at this point, it's by no means limited to the ordained or other authorised forms of ministry in the church. Thank goodness for that. Even though that has sadly been the prevailing narrative at times in our church history. Many of us are leaders in our own particular fields. You may not personally resonate with those pictures I showed on the screen, but whether we lead in our friendship groups, our families, our neighbourhoods, whether we lead in our jobs and our professions, whether we lead in our hobbies, in local politics, in sport, in leisure, in whatever it is, know that this leadership is something to which we're distinctively called as a Christian. Whether or not we consider ourselves Christian leaders in the church, we are all in some places and some situations leaders who are Christians. How then should the way we lead be influenced by our faith? And if we don't really see ourselves as a leader in any particular setting whatsoever, and that might be you, do be praying and encouraging those you know who are in positions of leadership in whatever form. Leadership is never easy. It always comes with responsibility and sometimes tough and unpopular decisions. Just to give you an example, think of the parent caught in the middle of an argument between their children, or the referee at a sports match. I think of Wimbledon many years ago, when there were lots of decisions that people didn't like, or the vicar who changes the time of a church service. There are lots of books written on Christian leadership, and there's so much that could be said. But this morning we're going to focus for a few moments on just two aspects of what wise and godly leadership might look like. Leading others as a Christian person will and should look different. And if we look at Jesus' model of leadership, it was one of servant-heartedness. It was servant ministry through and through. And throughout his ministry, Jesus was a servant to all those he met and ministered to. And in that second Bible reading that Roger read to us from Mark's Gospel, Jesus was speaking to his disciples over issues of leadership. The rulers of the day were lording it over others. They were throwing their considerable power and weight around. They ruled with an authority and probably a superiority too, possibly putting others down in the process and thinking more of themselves and their exalted positions. But this was not the kind of leadership that Jesus wanted. His model of leadership was very different. It turned convention and culture on its head, with a focus on humility, seeking to be the very least, and accepting the status of a servant. I wonder how often do we see this model of servant leadership in the world today? Do we see evidence of it amongst our politicians, amongst our world leaders, or local leaders, or church leaders? Maybe our present queen is one person who exemplifies a form of leadership perhaps more akin to what Jesus is talking about. She's dedicated most of her life to public service, being there with and for others, with a quiet and gentle humility. In a nutshell, Jesus' servant leadership was primarily about putting others' needs before our own. Joseph too put others' needs first. He may not have looked like a servant with his fine robes and regalia of high office that he was given, but he was there to serve the people of Egypt, to help them navigate a tricky 14-year economic plan. Joseph had no qualifications in business administration or economics, didn't hear any of that. He had no experience, as far as we know, in managing national food storage and distribution systems. He was, after all, a shepherd by upbringing and by his background. And yet he was obedient to God's call, and he was willing to put God's leading first as he sought to serve him as Pharaoh's number two. As we reminded ourselves earlier, God chooses unexpected people, and the call to leadership can come at unexpected times. Perhaps Joseph's story may prompt us to remember that in God's economy and God's plan, it's our availability so often that matters more than our ability. It's obedience that matters more than expertise. And Joseph was prepared to serve and follow God in all circumstances. And what mattered was his recognition that his leadership came from God and from God alone. So what about us? What about you? What about me? Whether we're perhaps more formally recognised as leaders, or whether we exercise leadership in different parts of our life, how can we begin to display that servant leadership that puts others first and totally relies on God? What might that begin to mean for the way we exercise our leadership and the impact of what we do on others around us? Just some questions for you to ponder. Maybe not now, maybe as we go from this service later. But as with all areas of our faith, Jesus provides us with the model of the servant. And in a few moments, we will be singing that familiar hymn, The Servant King. But first, just a moment of quiet reflection as we take stock for a minute of our own lives, whether leading in whatever sphere of life or whether not. And let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you taught us about wise leadership and servant-heartedness. Make us wise and godly, we pray, with all those we are called to lead. We also lift to you those Christian leaders, both in public life and behind the scenes. Would you strengthen and equip them in your service? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.